Last time, we raised the question why it is that Tehillim, which has many authors, is often viewed not just by the man in the street, but it seems by Chazal on some level as being responsible for all of Sefer Tehillim, even though it's almost certain that he didn't write many of the prakim that are in Tehillim. And we've discussed different possibilities about David's life that might have made him uniquely suited towards being the author of Tehillim. The fact that he was a musician, the fact that he was a poet, the fact that he had many different experiences in life, a very difficult life, the fact that he was chosen by Hashem, that he's a Navi, that he's a Baal Tshuva. And then I said, okay, probably all those qualities and all those experiences have something to do with it, but how did it come to be? And then I said, we're going to be looking for a few classes at Sefer Divrei HaYamim. This one and either one or two more, we'll see how it goes. And I'm not sure when you started this morning's learning if you understood the connection. Those of you who got to the end of the sheet at least saw the beginnings of the connection. So let's discuss the incident. This incident, by the way, I hope you remember, was this past Shabbat's Haftarah. I hope you heard it well, because the guy who read it on Shabbat did a really good job. I was actually, they asked me to do the Haftarah in Marat Machpelah, and I hadn't prepared. You're supposed to prepare, but the guy came over to me right before Matzah and said, "You do Maftar?" I said, "No." He said, Yeah. I'm like, okay. And I opened it up. I said, "Oh, of course, Peretz Uza. It makes sense that that's the Haftarah for Parshat Shmini." And I said, "Ooh, great. I'm giving Shir on it this week. They better be listening." So, okay. So, the event.
The event
described in Shmuel Bet Perek Vav. Let's set the stage, okay? And again, we saw last time that some of you are more familiar with Sefer Shmuel and some less. So let's just set the stage here, okay? David became king first in Hebron. No, this is background. David became king first in Hebron, and then after 7 years in Hebron, all the people came in Hebron. It was just over Shevet Yehuda. And then the rest of the tribes came to him. They said, "We want you to be the king." And as we saw on one of our Tehillim, he came and he captured the city of Yavus. We were there. We saw where maybe Yoav ben Tzruya broke into the city, right there by Warren's shaft, that whole thing way back in after Sukkot, we went there. And he named the city Ir David and turned it into his capital. Hiram Melech Tzor came to Yerushalayim and built him a palace that we saw maybe the remnants of. V'chulei. The exact sequence of events is not clear. There's one of the many apparent discrepancies between Sefer Shmuel and Sefer Divrei HaYamim is exactly when this took place. But at some point, David decided to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. And that's what we read about last Shabbat and the tragic event of Peretz Uza, which I mentioned in Suda Shlishit, which we'll talk about briefly now as well. But before getting into reading the Psukim, let's just understand something. David decides to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. Where was the Aron until this point?
Shiloh.
No, it was not in Shiloh. It was in Kiryat Yarim. In the house of, what's his name? Avinadav. How did it get to Kiryat Yarim?
From Beit Shemesh.
How did it get to Beit Shemesh?
From
the Plishtim. How did it get to the Plishtim?
From the
war. Okay, so let's go back. Before that whole story, before the book of Shmuel, at the time period covered by the book of Shoftim, where was the Aron?
Shiloh.
Why was the Aron in Shiloh? That's where the Mishkan was. Okay. In other words, the Aron was where it was supposed to be. The Mishkan was built in the Midbar. It traveled with the people through the Midbar. Traveled into Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua for 14 years. We talked about this also in one of our Yerushalayim Tehillim. It was based in Gilgal, where the people were. And then they went to Shiloh and they built the Mishkan in Shiloh. And for over 300 years, it sat in the Kodesh Kodeshim in Shiloh, exactly where it's supposed to be. What happened at the beginning of the book of Shmuel that caused the Aron to be taken away from the Mishkan in Shiloh? There was a war against the Plishtim, and the people brought the Aron out to war. Why did they do that? They believed that having the Aron with them would cause them to be victorious in war. But it wasn't. It didn't work, so to speak, right? And instead they lost the war. And the Aron was taken by the Plishtim. But the Plishtim didn't want to keep it. Why not? Right. That's, by the way, in my opinion, that's one of the funniest chapters in the entire Tanakh. It's comedy. What's going on there? And I think the Navi's trying to make you laugh because they put the Aron down in front of their idol, and they wake up in the morning, and the idol fell down when its head broke off, and they put it back together, and the next day it falls down again, and then they all get hemorrhoids and say, "We can't handle this," and they send it back to Beit Shemesh, right? And it gets back to Beit Shemesh in a very miraculous way. They put it on the agala. And the cows just go on their own, and they bring it to Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh being a city that's on the border with Eretz Plishtim, so it gets to Beit Shemesh first. The people in Beit Shemesh are so excited, right? They have this, the Aron is coming back, and they offer korbanot, etc. But what happens to the people in Beit Shemesh? I don't know if they all die. A lot of them die, because why? They didn't treat the Aron with proper respect. So they said, "We can't handle this Aron," and they sent it to Kiryat Ya'arim. Where is that? Anyone know? It's a city in Binyamin where today's Telstone is. In fact, the official name of Telstone is Kiryat Yarim today. So I told Rabbi Katz once, apparently what people in Beit Shemesh weren't firm enough for their own, so they sent it to Telstone, and there it was okay. Okay. So that's how the Aron got to Kiryat Yarim. Okay, follow this, girls. But what happened to the rest of the Mishkan that was in Shiloh? The Aron had been taken out of the Kodesh Kodeshim, taken to battle. It was captured by the Plishtim and then sent to Beit Shemesh and from there to Kiryat Yarim. What happened to the rest of the Mishkan? It was destroyed in the same war. Shiloh was destroyed in that war. So what happened after Shiloh was destroyed? Where did the Mishkan go?
Nov.
It was brought to Nov. And it was in Nov until? And then what happened? Until Shaul destroyed the city of Nov. And from there it moved to Giv'on. Giv'on, all these cities, Shiloh, Nov, Giv'on, they're all cities in the land of Binyamin. And from Giv'on to Kiryat Yarim is not very far. So that means that when David became the king, the Mishkan was in Giv'on, but the Aron was still in Kiryat Yarim, and a question has to be asked here. What's the question you need to ask? What was the Aron doing in Kiryat Yarim? I know how it got there. The people took the Aron out of the Mishkan, and it was captured in war, and it was taken to the Eretz Plishtim, and sent back, and the people in Beit Shemesh couldn't keep it, so they sent it to Kiryat Yarim. Meanwhile, where in theory should the Aron have gone? It should have gone back to Shiloh, but it can't go back to Shiloh. Shiloh's destroyed. And maybe in the very beginning, there was no Mishkan yet. But for 75 years, there was a Mishkan in Nov, and then in Givon. And the Aron is a few miles away in a private home in Kiryat Yarim. Where does it belong? Where does it belong? It belongs in the Kodesh Kodeshim. It belongs in Nov and then in Givon, together with the Mizbeach and the Shulchan and the Menorah. Why did they leave the Aron in Kiryat Yarim? I'm not the first one who asked this question. Who asked this question, or at the very least, complained and criticized the fact that the Aron was left in Kiryat Yarim for so long? David! We'll get to see that when we get to the Reayim. So let's ask ourselves the question. Why do you think, who was in charge of that in this period of time? When the Mishkan was in Nov and in Givon for most of the period? Shaul. Why didn't Shaul bring the Aron back to where it belonged? Why did he leave it in a private home for 75 years? Okay. Let's leave that as a question. On that background, let's look at Perek Vav of Sefer Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel Bet. Vayosef od David et kol bachur b'Yisrael 30 elef. Okay, bachur means what?
Chosen.
Yeah, but in this context, when you're Yosef 30 elef bachur, it means soldiers. Soldiers. This is like a military. When you read a pasuk like that, you expect the next sentence to have something to do with a war. But it's not. There's no war going on here. V'yachem v'yelech David uchol amitom mi'balei Yudal halot misham et Aron ha'elokim asher nekra shem Hashem Tzvaot Yoshev Kruvim Alav. And they decide they're going to bring it where? To Yerushalayim. And here we have another question. For some reason, the Aron belonged where? Where does the Aron belong? In Mishkan, which is in Giv'on. For some reason, for a very long time, it's been in Kiryat Yearim. David finally decides to take it from Kiryat Yearim. Where should he be bringing it? To Giv'on. But he doesn't. Instead, he brings it to Yerushalayim. Why do you think he did that? Right. The answer to that question is pretty clear from the next perek, Perek Zion, which we didn't read today, but we did read in the Haftarah. He then says to Natan, he wants to, you say, build the Beit HaMikdash, maybe. At the very least, he wants to bring the Mishkan to Yerushalayim. I'm not convinced that he wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash yet, but that's a different discussion. Depends what Beit Hashem means. But the point is, he certainly wanted to bring the rest of the Mishkan to Yerushalayim. So instead of, and why did he want to bring it to Yerushalayim? Because Yerushalayim was the capital city that he was building. And he wanted to turn Yerushalayim not only into his capital, but into the spiritual capital. Not like happened in the time of the Shoftim, when the Shofet was wherever he was, and the Mishkan was somewhere else. Or in the time of Shaul, where Shaul was in Givah, and the Mishkan was in Nov and in Givon in different places. He wanted the Mishkan with him. Or more importantly, he wanted to be with the Mishkan. He wanted Beit Hashem to be in the center of everything. We read the Perek of Tehillim, right? We talked about last time. Shira Malot, the David, Samachti Be'omim Li Beit Hashem Nilech. That's all about Yerushalayim. It talks there about Kisot Le Beit David, Kisot Le Mishpat, Shalu Shlom Yerushalayim. Part of his vision for Yerushalayim, the centerpiece, is that the Mishkan's going to be there. So he doesn't want to bring the Aron to Givon. And you reunite the Aron with the Mishkan in Givon. He wants to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim and then reunite the rest of the Mishkan with the Aron where it belongs in Yerushalayim. Okay. So he gathers, for some reason he gathers 30,000 soldiers, which is, a very large number for what needs to be done here. And they decide to bring the Mishkan to Yerushalayim, the Aron to Yerushalayim. And how are they going to transport the Aron to Yerushalayim? On an agala.
You just said
cab. Carriage. I heard her.
I was like, what?
Carry or carriage? I thought you said a carriage.
I thought you said cab.
Okay, whatever. It was on an agala.
I heard it.
An agala, a wagon of some sort. Now, why do you think David chose to use an agala to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim?
What else would he use?
Well, how did he do it eventually?
Oh.
Eventually it was done by Odia. We'll get to that.
Why would he need 30,000 men to put it in the wagon?
So the 30,000 men clearly weren't, there were a few people. How many people were leading the wagon? Two, it says later. Achio and Uzzah were leading the wagon. So the 30,000 people must have had a different purpose. We'll have to see what their purpose was. Okay, but why an agala? The word agala should be screaming out at you here.
Because that was what the Plishtim
did. That's how the Plishtim sent it to Beit Shemesh. Okay. In fact, according to one of the Mefarshim, it was actually the same Agala, even though it's called here Agala Chadasha, and over there it sounds like they broke that. Sounds like they used the wagon from his bed. So it's not clear exactly, but whatever's going on there, it seems that what David's concept was, he wants to. What happened? The Aron was taken into Galut. Its return from Galut was on the Agala that the Plishtim sent it on, and it was a miraculous Agala. Or, I shouldn't say it that way. The Agala was the instrument of doing a nes, of doing a miracle. Right? The Agala and the Bakar that brought the Aron back happened in a miraculous way. There was no one leading them. The animals just walked in a very unnatural way. So it got from there to Beit Shemesh and from there to Givat Yarim. It stopped. And it's been there for 75 years. But by bringing an Agala, what David wants to say is we're continuing that journey. Chaval, maybe, that it stopped for 75 years, but I want to continue what happened. So we're going to take an agalah, we're going to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim. And he's all excited, and there's music, there's a procession. And tragedy strikes at Goren Nachon, wherever that is. One fascinating midrash, probably not pshat at all. One fascinating midrash is that Goren Nachon is actually Goren Aravna, which would mean this is on the Harabayat. Fascinating. It's not pshat, but it opens up fascinating insight possibilities, but that's not for this discussion. That's just something to throw out there for you to think about. B'chol ofen, tragedy strikes. Pasuk Zayin, Vayicharaf Hashem Be'uza, Vayakehu sham ha'elohim al hashal, vayamot sham im aron ha'elohim. Now David's reaction is interesting and significant. Vayichar le David al asher paratz Hashem peretz be'uza. Vayikra le'makom ahu peretz uza arayom hazeh. David was very, very distraught at what had happened. This was a big moment, and it was such simcha, and Hashem struck Uzzah down. And the parallels, by the way, and this is again not for now. When the decision was made to make this perek, the haftarah for Parshat Shemini with the story of Nadav and Avihu, it was noticing a very clear parallel. Just like Nadav and Avihu, at the moment of greatest simcha of dedicating the Mishkan, were struck down by Hashem for doing something that was clearly wrong, but their intentions were good. They wanted. And that's what Moshe said to Aaron, "Hu asher diber Hashem b'krovaya kadesh." And the image there, I don't know if you noticed this, the image there is v'teitzayesh me'et Hashem v'tochal otam. That's an echo of the pasuk just before that. The pasuk immediately before that is v'teitzayesh me'et Hashem v'tochal atachalavim. They bring korbanot on the mizbeach, and a miraculous fire comes down from Shemayim and consumes the korban. And then it says, v'yikruvu nadav avihu ish machtato, v'yakrivu, whatever the words are, I forget exactly, eish zara shalot tzivaotam, v'teitzayesh me'et Hashem v'tochal otam. They were consumed by the same type of fire, or perhaps even by the same fire that consumed the korbanot. And that's when Moshe turned to Aaron and said, "Hu asher diber Hashem b'krovaya kadesh." Mitzad echad, a noble death, a death of people who died with the noblest of intentions, but tragically, and we've mentioned there are 17 different answers as to what exactly they did wrong, but something wrong. It's the very same as Uzzah. Why didn't Uzzah grab the aron? He thought it was going to fall. His intentions were noble. But paratz Hashem peretz be'uzah, because that's not what you're supposed to do. But the next pasuk is a little bit more puzzling, especially when contrasted with Parshat Shemini, because what's Aaron's reaction at that time? Vayidom Aaron, but more than that, he continues the avodah, and later on there's a whole discussion. Moshe says to him, "Why did you burn up the korban?" He says, "I wasn't allowed to eat the korban because I'm an onein." But he's not allowed to mourn. Aaron's not allowed to mourn. Moshe tells him you're not allowed to mourn. And he continues, "My personal tragedy cannot stop the dedication of the Mishkan." Now contrast that to David's reaction here. Vayichar le David, David's very upset. Vayira David et Hashem bayomu vayomer, Eich yavo elai Aaron Hashem, velo ava David lahasiri lavet Aaron Hashem adir David. David says, "We're canceling the procession. I don't want that on in Yerushalayim anymore." And he brings it to the house of Oved Edom HaGiti, who's one of the Levim. That's the polar opposite of the way Moshe and Aaron reacted to the deaths of Nadav and Avihu. Why do you think David did that? Yeah?
I think it was clear that, based on what had happened, that whatever they were doing was clearly not the way to go about doing it, and that perhaps that, David realized that it wasn't the right time to bring...
Maybe. In Divrei Hayamim, it sounds more like that. But from these psukim, it doesn't sound that way. Here it just says, Vayira David et Hashem, Vayomer Eich Yavo Elai Aron Hashem. Here it sounds like David saying, Aron's dangerous. I don't want it. It kills people. So he sends it here. Until what happens? So he brings it to Oved Edom's house. Vayeshev Aron Hashem beit Oved Edom agiti shlosha chodashim. Vayivarech Hashem et Oved Edom et kol beito. Vayugad lemelech David lemur beirach Hashem et beit Oved Edom et kol ashelo bavur Aron Elohim. When David saw, after 3 months, that Oved Edom, who agreed to host the Aron, is being blessed by Hashem, so David said, "Okay." Vayelech David, vayalet Aron ha'Elohim mibeit Oved Edom ir David b'simcha. Then he says, "Okay, let's go bring it back to Ir David." And he continues what he started 3 months earlier. And here it talks about how they brought the Aron, and David was dancing, and he was wearing an ephod bad, and which is not the normal clothes of royalty. He dressed up like a kohen, and not like the kohen gadol either. He was wearing ephod bad. He was wearing, right? He's Melech Yisrael. Melech Yisrael wears bigdei tiferet. And he's wearing an ephod bad, he's wearing a simple white clothing and he's dancing in front of the Aron, and Michal Bat Shaul doesn't like this, and she criticized him, and she never had a child. Right? And that's the part that's not discussed in Divrei Hayamim. Because as we mentioned last time, this is relevant to the message of Sefer Shmuel. Sefer Shmuel needs to explain to us why David was chosen and not Shaul. And tragically here, Michal, the daughter of Shaul, can't get out of the mindset of Beit Shaul. And that's what David said to her. He said to her, I was dancing in front of the God who chose me over your father. And you think that this is not dignified? This is the greatest dignity. With those maidservants, right? Ima ha-mahot asher amart, imami kaveda. That's my true glory. Ulmichal bat Shaul lo haya la yeled. She couldn't have a child because David's descendants tragically can't come from her. And that's the end of, or much of the end of Beit Shaul right there. That's what the Navi of Sefer Shmuel wants us to see. Sefer Divrei Hayamim is not interested in that. Sefer Divrei Hayamim has a different point altogether. So before we turn to Divrei Hayamim then, let's just understand, we have a few questions here. We don't understand why Shaul, for all those years, left the Aron in Kiryat Yarim. David decided to bring it back from Kiryat Yarim and bring it to Yerushalayim, presumably ahead of the rest of the Mishkan that he wanted to bring to Yerushalayim. For some reason, he called 30,000 people up, and it's not clear what their role is. They started bringing it from Kiryat Yarim. There was a tragedy that's very similar to the tragedy of Nadav and Abihu, but David's reaction is very, very different. Instead of continuing on in spite of the tragedy, he gets scared. He says, I don't want the Aron anymore, and changes the whole plan, and sends it off to Obed Edom's house. And only when he sees that things are good for Obed Edom, he says, okay, fine, he brings it to Yerushalayim. When we look at it in Divrei Hayamim, the questions that we didn't fully understand are going to become clear, and a whole different picture is going to emerge. We'll turn now, please, to Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Yud Gimel. Yes? I think that's part of it, and certainly that's the way it looks in Shmuel. But in Divrei Hayamim, we're going to see the missing link. I think. Okay, so let's take a look now. Okay. Now, by the way, Divrei Hayamim Aleph Perek Yud Gimel. What I asked you to read on the sheet there. Now, by the way, there are other discrepancies between Divrei Hayamim and Shmuel on this issue that we're not going into now. And those who want to learn in greater detail, I'll just point out, for example, the sequence of events. I mentioned earlier, exactly when this took place is not clear. In Shmuel, it discusses David building Yerushalayim and his palace being built for him by Hiram and two or three wars against the Plishtim. And only afterwards it mentions the whole issue of bringing Aron and Peretz Uzzah. Whereas in Divrei Hayamim, it makes it look at least as if the first thing David did when he came to Yerushalayim was to try to bring the Aron, and then Peretz Uzzah, and then he stopped. And then in between that and the second half of the story, there's the discussion of the palace being built and all the wars against the Plishtim, which couldn't possibly have happened in 3 months. But it makes it sound as if all that happened in between the first half of bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim and the second half, and there's a lot to talk about there, but that's not my purpose right now. So, let's read the same events that we just read, told from the perspective of Divrei Hayamim, from the perspective of Ezra, and the people who came back to Yerushalayim at the beginning of the Tkufav Bayit Sheni, or the Tkufav Shivat Zion, to be more exact. So first it says here, there we had 30,000 people, and it wasn't clear what their purpose was. Here, there's a much more elaborate description. Vayiva'etz David. And again, this is being told to us immediately after telling us that David captured Yerushalayim. I mean, there's some non-chronological information in between here, but the previous event that's described in Divrei Hayamim is the capture of Yerushalayim. And it's presented here even before the palace is built for David, as if it happened immediately after David came to Yerushalayim. Vayiva'etz David, im sarei ha'alafim v'hameyot l'chol nagid, he consulted with all the leaders of the nation. It's like he called a big meeting in Yerushalayim, or maybe he had a whole series of meetings with representatives from all the different areas of the country. Vayomer David lechol kehal Yisrael. He's trying to create a national project here for all of the people. Im aleichem tov. ומן השם אלוקינו נפרצה, נשלחה על אחינו הנשארים בכל ארצות ישראל. He's talking here to the leaders of all the representatives. He says, if you all agree with me, then we're going to gather together all of the people from around the entire country, all of our lands, ve'imahem ha'kohanim ve'leviim barei migrasheihem, all the representatives of the different groups of people, ve'yikavtzu eleinu. We're going to create an assembly of the entire nation. You can't bring the entire nation to the city, so it's going to have to be representatives. But from all the people, we're going to create a huge national gathering here in Yerushalayim. V'nasei bet aron Eloheinu eleinu ki lo drashnuhu bimei Shaul. What is David creating this whole thing about? He's causing this entire national assembly for a huge project to bring their own to Yerushalayim, and it's presented here as if, at least, it was the very first thing he did after capturing Yerushalayim. And he says, ki lo drashnuhu bimei Shaul. What's his point? What?
He's not going to make up for what he did.
For what who did?
Shaul.
In other words, we asked the question earlier, why didn't the Aron come back from, why did they leave it for all those years in Kiryat Yarim? David asked the same question, and he asked it in an accusatory way. It was wrong! It was wrong! Why did Shaul do this? It was something that Shaul neglected for all the years of his kingdom. He's busy building a country, and he did wonderful things building a country, perhaps. But this was wrong. All those years, the Aron is sitting in some guy's garage. The Mishkan, the Kohanim are bringing korbanot, and they're lighting them in Orah, and they're putting lechem apanim on the mizbeach and ketoret. And meanwhile, the Kodesh Kodeshim is empty. And some guy's got the Aron in his machsan. This is wrong. And we're going to correct this. Now I'm in charge. And I just captured Yerushalayim. And I'm going to turn this into Ir David. I'm doing this my way. And I want the Aron with me, and I have visions of building the Mikdash. But it's not about me. Am Yisrael has to do it. All of Am Yisrael. So first I'm going to consult, and I'm going to create a committee, and we're all going to agree, and we're going to have representatives coming, and together we're all going to bring with a great procession, and great pomp and circumstance, we are going to dedicate Ir David as Ir Hashem. And for that, we're going to correct the terrible neglect that took place in the days of Shaul. No longer is the Aron going to be in some storage compartment somewhere in Kiryat Yarim. I'm going to build a tent in Yerushalayim, in the center of the capital city. And that's where the Aron HaBrit is going to be. And after that, David is thinking to himself, I'm going to bring the rest of the Mishkan, and right there in the center, the worship of Hashem is going to be what it's all about. So he gets all the people together. They agree. Pasuk Dao, they agree. And look at Pasuk Hei. Vayikahel David et kol Yisrael min shichor Mitzrayim v'ad levo chamat. If you look at the maps, that's far greater than the typical expression midan v'ad be'er sheva. These are the far reaches, like even if there's some Jewish people, some like outlying outposts, some small communities outside the main part of the country, he got them too. Everybody comes together. Lehavi et Aron ha'elokim mikiryat yarim. And then the Ketuv here goes on, and it tells us in very similar terms, with only very minor discrepancies, the story of what happened when they put the Aron on the Agala, and they brought it towards Yerushalayim with singing and dancing. And now we understand that those 30,000 people that were hinted at in Shmuel was part of this whole, they were representatives, they were delegations from all the different, so that this would be not a personal act by David, but an act by the entire Am Yisrael. Everybody sent delegations, everybody sent their representatives, so that it's as if the entire nation is there bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim in this very, very dramatic way. Ad sheparatz Hashem peretz be'uza. Okay, and Perek Yud Gimel ends with that. Vayira, let's skip to Pasuk Yud Bet. Vayira David et Elokim vayomahu lemor heichavi elai et Aron ha'Elohim v'lo hisir David et Aron elav elei David vayateu beit Oved ha'Edom megiti vayeshev Aron ha'Elokim in beit Oved ha'Edom beveito shlosha chadashim vayevarech Hashem et beit Oved ha'Edom ve'et kol asher lo. So now, let's see if, before going on, if we can begin to understand some of the answers to the questions we asked earlier. We said, why didn't Shaul bring the Aron to Yerushalayim? We didn't have an answer. David asked the question, and he didn't have an answer, but he was angry about it. He said it was wrong. But let's remember something. How did the Aron wind up in Kiryat Yearim? It was taken from Shiloh by people who thought it was going to help them win a war, and what did it do?
They lost the war.
They lost the war, and maybe they thought that the Aron caused them to lose the war. So the Plishtim took it, and they were so excited. Ooh, we beat the God of the Jews. They put it down in front of their idol. Did Bnei Israel come and capture it back from them? No, they sent it back. Why?
Because it caused damage.
So the people in Beit Shemesh got it. And they were so excited. They brought Korbanot, and what happened? They died. So they didn't want it either. So this one guy in Kiryat Yearim agreed to take it, and nobody's died. So he left it in Machsan. In retrospect, why did Shaul not bring it back? Why didn't he want it? He was scared of it. David says, this is wrong. The Aron has to come back to Yerushalayim. We're going to fix what Shaul did wrong. And he gets this whole thing together. And everybody's marching to Yerushalayim. Boom! Paratz Hashem Peretz Be'uza. And David doesn't do Moshe V'Aaron and say the show must go on. He says, cancel the show. I don't want it. And what must David be saying to himself now? Now I understand what Shaul did. Maybe I shouldn't have been so quick to judge. The Aron is dangerous. Okay, I guess we can't have it. I guess we're not worthy of it. Or at least we're not ready for it. So he doesn't send it back to Kiryat Yearim, he puts it to a different private home. But then what changes? Okay, first of all, Hashem blesses Oved Edom. So maybe that begins to raise questions about whether the Aron is the thing that's dangerous. But now turn to Perek Tetvav. Perek Tetvav, this is where the author of Divrei Hayamim gives us a whole bunch of pieces of information that we didn't have before and shows us a completely different spin on all of this. Vayas lo batim b'ir David. David prepared, and here it sounds like he did this only after what he had done before. He built up the city. Vayachen makom la'aron ha'elokim. He prepared a place for the Aron. Vayat lo ohel, and he put a tent there to receive the Aron. And then it says, now again, in Sefer Shmuel, all it said was, when David saw that things were good for Oved Edom, he said, okay, I'll take the Aron. It sounds like it was all very, very selfish. Oh, the Aron's dangerous, I don't want it. Oh, he's getting wealthy and things are good, okay, I do want it. But here in Divrei Hayamim, where the author wants us to understand more about this particular point, so Ezra gives us a lot more details here. Az Amar David, Pasuk Bet, Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Bet, Az Amar David, Lo laset et Aron ha'elokim ki im ha'leviim, ki vam bachar Hashem, laset et Aron Hashem ulushar toad olam. David says, ah! What's his point here?
We're ready for it.
No, that's not what he says. Lo laset et Aron ha'elokim ki im ha'leviim. The Leviim have to be the ones to carry the Aron. As opposed to
the wagon
led by Uzzah. So what does he do? Again, by Akel David at Kol Yisrael El Yerushalayim, again he reassembles all the people, just what he had done before. Lehalot et Aron Hashem Mokamo Asher Hechin Lo. Okay, we're going to try this again. And once again he calls everybody together. But this time, who leads the procession? Not Uzzah. But rather, Vayesov David et Bnei Aharon et Haleviim. And he gathers the six heads of the six Batei Av, the six divisions of the Leviim. The Vnei Kehat, Uriel Hasar, Ve'echav Me'a Ve'esrim, the Vnei Merari Asayasar, Ve'chulei Gershom, Eli Tzafan, Chevron, Uziel. Those are the six Batei Av Leviim. He takes the heads of each of these, like the six the six, like, Sarim, they're called here, the six leaders of the tribe of Levi. And Vayikra David Litzadok Ulevyatara Kohanim, those were the two top Kohanim in his time. So he calls the heads of Shevet Levi, the six heads of the Levim and the two heads of the Kohanim. And he says, Vayomer lehem, Atem Rashei Ha'avot LaLevim, Hitkadshu Atem Va'achichem, V'ha'alitem Et Aron Hashem Elokei Yisrael El Hachinoti Lo. You are going to have to, first of all, Hitkadshem, V'hitka, what's the word? Hitkadshu Atem, you're going to have to prepare yourself, purify yourself, because you're about to take the Aron, which can be dangerous. And you are the ones, just like in the Midbar. I thought I was doing something nice by putting in an agalah. I wanted to show that the what happened in the time of the Plishtim is still continuing. But what did Hashem tell us in the Torah? Who is supposed to carry the Aron? The Levim. And not even, and by the way, in the Midbar, if you remember, in Parshat Naso, the Nisi'im donated six agalot to be used to transport the Mishkan. There were 12 tribes. And each two Nisi'im together donated one agala. There were six agalot given to transport the Mishkan through the Midbar. And it says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the six agalot and he divided them among the three groups of Levim, Gershon, Kehat, and Merari. And remember how he divided them? Merari got four, Gershon got two, and Kehat got zero. Why? Because of they had different jobs in terms of the transportation. B'nai Merari were responsible for the krashim. They're big and heavy. So the people have to carry the big heavy stuff, get more agalot. That makes sense. Gershon carried things that were not as heavy, they got two. But the ulivnei kahat lo natan, ki avodat hakodesh aleihem bakatef yisau. B'nai kahat have to transport the Aron and also the other kelim. And that, you don't stick it on an agala. They have to carry it on their shoulders. And David says, I can't believe I did that. I put the Aron on an agala. Did I forget what it says in Sefer Bamidbar? I forgot my chumash that I learned in fourth grade? It says that B'nai Kahat didn't get the agalot. Ki avodat hakodesh aleihem bakatef yisau. You don't transport the holiest objects that way. They have to be carried on the shoulders and on the shoulders of B'nai Levi. And I put it on the agalah and I had people from a different shevet leading it. So now I'm going to do it right. He calls all the people back to Yerushalayim again because the basic idea was correct. And we're going to do what we said before, but this time we're going to do it the right way. At the leading of the procession is the Levi'im, and he says to them, Hitkadshu atem. Get ready for this. It's not just stam. Prepare. You're going to do it right. And here he says, and this is the key pasuk, Ki lima barishona lo atem. In the beginning, I didn't ask you to do it. Paratz Hashem Elokeinu banu, ki lo drashnuhu kamishpat. And in that sentence, he makes reference to two previous statements. He says, I want you to be the ones to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, because originally, I didn't ask you to do it. Paratz Hashem Elokeinu banu, that refers to what event? Peretz Uzzah. He says, but why did Peretz Uzzah happen? Ki lo drashnuhu kamishpat. And that expression, lo drashnuhu, what's he referring to? What's he? He says, now I finally understand. I criticized Shaul, and I said it was wrong to not bring Aaron to Yerushalayim. Lo drashnuhu bimei Shaul, that was wrong. I said, I'm David, I'm going to do it right. And Hashem, paratz Hashem banu. Hashem punished me. So then I thought, Shaul was right. And maybe I shouldn't bring that home to Yerushalayim. But now I realize that that was also wrong. And I've been guilty of exactly what Shaul was guilty of. I was right to criticize Shaul. But I was wrong to realize that I was doing the same thing. I also, lo drashnuhu kamishpat. I didn't do it the right way. And therefore, what was wrong with Shaul's thinking? Shaul thought, the Aron is causing all these people to die because the Aron is dangerous. But it's not the Aron that's dangerous. The people are dying because they're not acting correctly. It's the chet that kills, not the Aron. The Aron is just the instrument. And the solution, therefore. Kedusha can be dangerous, yes. But the solution is not to run away from Kedusha and to leave the Aron locked up in a garage. The solution is to make yourself worthy. And what I just did by leaving the Aron in Oved Adom's house is the same chet that Shaul did. So I'm going to continue and bring it back, but not on Agalah. And the Levim, you're going to do it. And I'm going to dress up like a Kohen, not like the king. So I can express the fact that it's not about me. And in this procession, I'm the follower, not the leader. And maybe Michal doesn't understand that. And that's why she's wrong. And that's why I'm the one who is going to be the king. So he brings that on to Yerushalayim, led by the Levim. But that's only one of the things that he has the Levim do. He has some of the Levim carrying the Aron. And then in Pasuk Tet Zayin, though, he said something else. And if you haven't realized it yet, these next Pasukim are the point of this entire shiur. Vayomer David l'sarei ha-Levim. Okay, so he has Levim carrying the Aron. Now, how many Levim is it going to take to carry the Aron? Probably four. Right? They put on their shoulders with two. And probably four people actually carrying it. Let's say there's several others surrounding them, helping them with it. But there are kept, if you go through the numbers earlier, there are like hundreds of Levim. So he says, what are the others going to do? He says to the other Levim, you're also going to be the leaders of this procession. Shevet Levi is going to be the ones to lead the Aron to Yerushalayim. Some of you are going to carry it on their shoulders instead of the Agala. But the rest of you have a different job. Vayomer David l'sarei ha-Levim l'hamir et acheihem ha-mishorerim b'chei shir nivalim b'chinorot u'mitzaltayim mashmi'im l'harim b'kol l'simcha. We saw in Sefer Shmuel that there was music being played and dancing. Who were the musicians? We now see the B'nai Levi. And not just Stam B'nai Levi, we know exactly who the chief musicians were because the next psukim tell us. So Levim, he tells Levim, okay, you guys, a few of you are going to carry the Aron, and the rest of you are in charge of the music. So pick people to play the music and sing the songs. You're the band for this procession to Yerushalayim. And the Levim have to set up the people to do this. And who do they choose? This should blow you away, I hope, if you've been learning Tehillim for a few months already. Vayamidu ha-Levim et Heman Ben Yoel, Umin Echab Asaf, Ben Berechiahu, Umin Bnei Merari Achehem Eitan, Ben Kushayahu. Why am I stopping here? And what am I trying to point out? Yes?
Because those are the other three that I mentioned.
Okay, these are the three Levim. Each one is from Gershon, one is from Kahat, and one is from Merari. Asaf is also a descendant of Korach. And according to one opinion, he's one of the B'nai Korach mentioned in Tehillim. According to a different opinion, the B'nai Korach are some of his ancestors. Asaf himself is certainly one of the key figures in Tehillim. I asked you last time, who's Asaf? Nobody knew. This is Asaf. And Heman and Eitan also seem to be mentioned in Tehillim. I mentioned to you, Perik, Pei Bet and Pei Gimel or something around there. There's a Perek, Pei Chet and Pei Tet maybe. There's Pei Gimel. There's a Perek written by Heman HaEzrachi and the following Perek by Eitan HaEzrachi. And although we'll perhaps see that some other possibilities about exactly who those people were, the simplest possibility is that these are these three people right here. These were the people who led the singing and dancing of their own to Yerushalayim. And the beginning of the whole concept of Tehillim is right here. And how do I know that? Let's read a few psukim that I didn't ask you to read in the Beit Midrash, and this will set us up for the next year. Turn now to Perek Tet Zayin, the next Perek. Vayaviu. Vayaviu et Aron ha'elokim. So they were singing and dancing and bringing their own to Yerushalayim. They also brought many, many, many korbanot along the whole way to Yerushalayim. And the procession was led by the Levim, who carried their own bakatef, like the Torah says, and by a group of musicians, a band, led by Asaf and Heman and Eitan. And they danced the Aron to Yerushalayim. Vayaviu et Aron ha'elokim, vayatzigu oto b'tocha oel shenata lo David. They brought the Aron and they installed it. They brought it into the, and they placed it in the tent which David had set up for it. Vayakrivu olotu shlamim lifnei Hashem. Vayichal David meha'alot ha'olav ha'shlamim, vayivarech et ha'am b'shem Hashem. Vayichalik l'chol isht. Yisrael meish varisha leish kikar lechem eshpar vashisha. David understood how to do things right. You want to make Jews impressed about something, you give out free food. And that's what he did. He made a big barbecue and everybody got bread and meat and wine. On the house, the whole city. But now here's the pasuk I want to focus on. So, okay, then the party's over. Everybody goes home. And now David finally accomplished it, right? He brought their own to Yerushalayim. What should he do now? He should go home, he should bless his family, he should have a fight with Michal, and move on. That's what it says in Shmuel. But here, it tells us something else. Vayitein lifnei Aron Hashem, min ha-levi'im mishartim, ule'azkir, ule'hodot, ule'halea l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. The party's over. The Aron has been brought to Yerushalayim. Right? Everybody's packing up their stuff. They're giving out free food. Everyone's going home. The Levim are putting away their instruments. And what does David do? Vayitein lifnei Aron Hashem min ha-Levim mishartim. What does that mean? Vayitein lifnei Aron Hashem min ha-Levim mishartim. Not songs. He places in front of the Aron
people
to serve in front of the Aron. And what do they do? How do they serve in front of the Aron? Ulehazkir, ulehodot, ulehalel, Lashem Elokei Yisrael. He wants them to do what? To continue to sing and to praise. And who's the head of this? Asaf. Asaf Harosh. And it lists other names as well. Heman and Eitan are not here. Next week's shiur, you'll find out where they were sent. But David said, what we just did to bring their own to Yerushalayim, and as a first step towards bringing the rest of the Mishkan to Yerushalayim, eventually, as a first step towards building a Beit HaMikdash, we did it wrong the first time. Uparatz Hashem peretz banu, ki lo drashnu b'kamishpat. But the second time we did it right. It was led by Leviim, who carried their own bakatef. We treated it with the proper respect. And we had Leviim singing in front of our own. And that can't stop. So I'm going to set up a rotation. Vayitein lifnei Aron Hashem min ha-Leviim mishartim. Every day, we're going to have groups of Leviim coming to the Aron and continuing to sing songs to Hashem in front of the Aron. And the leader of this group, the one in charge of the whole project, is going to be Asaf. The one who led the Aron to Yerushalayim is going to continue. It's not going to, that parade is not a one-time event. That's going to continue. It's going to be an ongoing event. And next time, we'll see that David set up a lot more and orchestrated a whole system here. And girls, this is the beginning of Sefer Tehillim. Some of the Tehillim were written earlier, like the one that was written by Moshe, and according to Chazal, by Adam and by Abraham. But the concept of Tehillim that are sung as praises to Hashem, and that are going to be sung later on by the Levim in the Beit HaMikdash, it began here, and the one who founded it was David.